Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Less than a week after Juno got buried under nearly 30 inches of snow, a second storm is triggering school closures, clogging roads, and running plow drivers ragged. KTOO's Clarice Larson and Anna Canny chatted with some of the people responsible for dealing with all that snow.
As snow kept piling up in Juno on Monday, 16 inches since Saturday night, Public Works Director Denise Kosh says keeping up is an all-hands-on-deck situation.
CBJ Streets crews are out doing everything they can. Our water utility is out doing everything they can to do things like try and keep fire hydrants clear and those sorts of things.
The Juno School District shifted to remote learning Monday, and CBJ offices were closed due to the snow. Kosh says the city is fully staffed with plow drivers and contracted help, and drivers have been working night and day. She says two city loaders are out of commission, but that's been the only equipment hiccup so far. Independent plow drivers have also been working long hours to clear private driveways and roads. Brian Klassmeyer says he's been plowing his routes in the valley twice a day. With constant snow and fluctuating temperatures, he says it's hard to keep up.
When it's been snowing for several hours, and then the temperature changes and now it's 30 degrees and it's starting to get wet, then it's really difficult to remove. And then if it freezes the next night, especially if you have a berm, it's almost impossible to remove. You can break your plow.
Debbie Driscoll with AELNP says there have been no reported power outages as of Monday afternoon.
We're, knock on wood, not really seeing anything right now. It's cold, so trees tend to stay in place when it's, really cold and the ground is frozen.
She says the weather warming in the coming days could bring some outages. Capital City Fire Rescue Assistant Chief Sam Russell says the department has not had any reports of roof cave-ins as of Monday morning. Kosh says how much weight a roof can handle depends on factors like pitch, age, and location.
People ask these questions about, whether or not they should shovel their roof. And it's not, unfortunately, it's not one size fits all sort of answer.
The city does offer guidance on its website to help residents assess the potential for roofs to collapse. Meanwhile, Juno Harbormaster Matt Cresswell says there have been no reports of boats sinking yet, but he strongly encourages boat owners to go shovel their boats if they can get to the harbor safely.
At this rate, the snow is going to keep coming and it's getting heavier and heavier. And we're starting to be really concerned.
Last week at Aurora Harbor, three boats sank under the weight of the snow. Three more were saved just in time. Capital Transit has shifted to winter routes until midnight. In Juno, I'm Clarice Larson.
Juno school leaders say the district's budget crisis will require major changes to how it operates. As KTOO's Katie Anastas reports, the district superintendent presented three school closure models to the school board this weekend.
Last week, the district outlined its budget crisis at a town hall-style meeting in the Yadad Kahleh Juno Douglas High School auditorium. Many parents asked how the district got here, how accounting errors by the district school finance manager, who resigned last month, could have created most of the deficit. But others, like parent Kate Hudson, wanted to know what's next.
Our school's going to close. Our teacher's going to be sacked. Our teacher's going to be told they need to take retirement. What are you actually saying?
School board member Will Muldoon responded.
I think all of that is on the table. I'm not going to sugarcoat that, but absolutely.
Member Emil Mackey said parents, students, and teachers might be tempted to advocate for their neighborhood school.
The thing we need from the public is an awareness and an acceptance that nobody is coming out untouched. Nobody.
This weekend, Superintendent Frank Hauser brought the board three examples of what school closures might look like. The first model involves moving 6th grade to elementary schools and consolidating 7th and 8th grade at one campus. That would let the district close one school.
So all the elementary schools in our neighborhood become K-6 schools. It is a 7 and 8. You would at that point have 6th graders would no longer go to the middle school. It would consolidate Floyd Dryden and Zonskahini to one school with grades 7 and 8. And then the high schools would have no change.
The second model goes a step further and splits elementary grades into K through 3 schools and 4 through 6 schools. District staff said that could allow them to consolidate the services it provides for younger and older elementary students. The third model would close two schools through a combination of splitting grades and consolidating. But Muldoon said he was hesitant to split up high school grades.
You know, like no other district does that, and then I don't know how that impacts activity, athletics, and where I get really nervous in regards to those is like, those are, you know, we hear that a lot at site council, like those are the reasons those kids come to school occupied, A, and then B, you don't get scholarship for good attendance, right? You get it for those activities, those athletics, those clubs.
All three models would save money by eliminating staff positions, like principals, office staff, and nurses. Increasing class sizes could lead to further staff cuts. District leaders also discussed splitting custodial, maintenance, and utilities costs with the city and borough of Juneau. The board also asked the superintendent to look into four-day school weeks, something the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District is also considering. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
The Alaska House of Representatives removed Representative David Eastman from its Judiciary Committee in a near-unanimous vote today. The move further marginalizes one of the House's most conservative Republicans. The removal came as the House's Committee on Committees approved a package of reassignments. House Speaker Kathy Tilton, a Wasilla Republican, says the timing simply made sense. Eastman, also a Republican from Wasilla, belongs to neither the Republican-led majority caucus nor the largely Democratic minority caucus.
We had an opportunity to make adjustments on the Committee on Committee report, and that is a majority seat, and there was a majority member that was interested in that seat, and that's the long of the short.
Tilton said the move was not a response to calls last week by Eastman to hold a joint session to override Governor Mike Dunleavy's vetoes. Eastman's tenure in the House has been marked by controversy. He's been censured by the House three times, most recently for asking in a committee meeting whether a child's death from abuse could save the government money. Eastman argued the question was rhetorical. Eastman was also kicked out of the House Minority Caucus and removed from committees in 2022. Tilton, who at the time was the minority leader, said Eastman had been disruptive. Eastman is also a lifetime member of the Oath Keepers, the militia group whose leader, Stuart Rhodes, is serving an 18-year federal prison sentence for organizing portions of the January 6 attack. Eastman was sued and eventually won a case that argued he was ineligible to run for office because of his support for the Oath Keepers. Rhodes testified in Eastman's defense at the trial. Eastman argued on the House floor that removing him from the committee would deprive his constituents of proper representation.
For what reason are the residents of Wasilla being punished in this report? I see if this report passes unamended that the citizens of Wasilla will be the only district in this House, frankly, or in the other body, that has a representative without a single committee to be their voice in our committee process.
Eastman was replaced by Representative Jesse Sumner, a fellow Wasilla Republican. All 39 of his colleagues voted to remove him, leaving Eastman as the lone dissenting vote. The House Judiciary Committee seat was Eastman's only appointment to a standing committee. The package of committee reassignments also places newly appointed Kotzebue Republican Representative Thomas Baker into committee seats held by his predecessor, Representative Josiah Putkatuk, an independent who resigned last year to become mayor of the North Slope Borough. Democratic Representative Jenny Armstrong of Anchorage and Ashley Carrick of Fairbanks traded places on other committees as a result of the vote. And the school in Little Diomede reopened this morning after months of remote classes. The school building closed in November after it was struck by the partially collapsed city building. The reopening was announced on the school's Facebook page Saturday afternoon. Before classes began, students gathered for breakfast at the school. The school joined a state program that offered meal distribution to students during the closure, according to an email from the Bering Strait School District's superintendent, Tammy Dodd. The district also received donations of shelf-stable meals from the Food Bank of Alaska and the Anchorage School District. And as for the weather, we have more snow on the way tonight. The low is near 26, and we might get 6 to 9 more inches of snow. Then more snow before noon. Then it might turn into a mix of rain and snow. The snow tomorrow morning could reach 4 to 7 inches. Now, urban avalanche danger is high, and those who live in avalanche areas should keep an eye on the forecast. The rest of this week, it looks like that rain and snow mixes on the forecast, with temperatures in the high 30s to low 40s. Thursday night, it looks like it might just turn into rain. This is KTOO.